Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper here. We're having another Baseball America hot sheet. We're excited to join you today because there's so much going on in baseball. Got Jeff Ponce, Teddy Cahill from the BA staff with me. We're going to be leaning on Teddy heavily here because, as we all watched last night, the CWS field is set. And let's get into that in our first move. So, Teddy, we have the CWS field set. And the thing that does jump out is it is a star-studded field. You're getting ready to go to Omaha. Who are you most excited to see and watch?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a jam-packed group again this year in terms of stars on the field. I mean, you've got to start with Jack Caglione, I feel like. One of the best players in the country over the last two seasons, the best two-way player in the country. Hitting at the heart of Florida's order, also being one of their top starters. He did not have the greatest College World Series last year, though, if you look at the numbers. And he did lose the final game to LSU in the championship series. So I'm sure he's itching to get back on the field there and, you know, have a better experience in Omaha this year. And then I also have to shout out Vance Honeycutt, just the way that the North Carolina center fielder has played over the last two weekends. He's been integral to UNC making it to this point. And, you know, he's arguably the most dynamic, maybe even the best player, position player, at least in North Carolina history. And that's saying a lot considering the kind of players that have come through Chapel Hill.
Okay. Those are off the board for you, Jeff. Taking those away, this is how star-centered it is. Who are you excited to see?
Yeah, I think I'm actually most excited to see Kentucky. First time in Omaha. I think that's really exciting for the program. And then on top of it, you know, Ryan Waldschmidt, I think, has been on record now as one of my more favorite players in the field, and just, you know, continuing to watch him perform well in that team to sort of defy, I think, even like sort of preseason odds. It's a little bit unusual. And the other one I'll say is, you know, Tennessee. I'm excited to see Tennessee, top team in the country. I think probably everybody's picked to win the College World Series. See if they can follow through with a great season and end it here in Omaha with a championship. But I think that's, you know, as well as a million other storylines of just the ACC versus the SEC and all that that's going on.
Well, and I was going to say, I'll bring up Christian Moore. I'm excited to watch Christian Moore on Tennessee, who, hey, we talk about Jack, and Jack is tied for second in the nation in home runs. But Christian Moore is kind of roaring to kind of try to catch up. 32 home runs for Moore, 33 for Jack, 37 for Charlie Condon. Don't think anyone will catch Charlie Condon because the CWS record for home runs in a CWS is 4. So Jack could catch him by setting, but you need someone to set the record to take the home run crown. But Teddy, Jeff just set it up there. The other thing that jumps out about this for this College World Series is this is an all ACC, all SEC affair. 4 ACC teams, 4 SEC teams. You had an ACC-SEC showdown, NC State for Georgia for the final spot. That would have set a record if the SEC got 5 teams. Instead, both of them share the record, share with several other SEC teams, most notably with 4. And I got to ask, is this the new normal? And if it is this a good thing, a bad thing, or, you know, what should we make of the fact that basically we have the entire Omaha field settled on from two different conferences?
Yeah, this is something I've been kind of trying to grapple with for the last couple of days. I actually didn't even think about this being a possibility until you tweeted something on like Saturday about how close we were getting, because I had just assumed that one of the Pac-12 teams, probably Oregon State, and one of the Big 12 teams, maybe West Virginia, would have made it through the Super Regionals and we would not have ended up here. I never once considered that at the start of Super Regional week. Here we are, though. And for ACC, for SEC teams, it's probably not great for the sport that, you know, the furthest west team in this field is Texas A&M. The furthest north team is in Lexington, Kentucky. That's probably not great for the overall health of the sport. Is this a long-term situation? That remains to be seen. The breakup of the Pac-12 is not a good development for, you know, the western half of the country in terms of baseball. The Big 12, I think going forward, this is the first time since 2014 there hasn't been a Big 12 representative in Omaha. And I think that, you know, it's going to be something like that going forward, that every, you know, they are going to be more in the mix than this. You know, Texas and Oklahoma leave that conference, but they add in Arizona and Arizona State and Utah starting next year. You had TCU be in the final four teams playing last year. You know, I feel like that conference is still positioned to break through. But for the most part, going forward, I think you are going to see mostly ACC teams and mostly SEC teams on this stage. And to some extent, that's just a continuation of where we've been. It's just a little more pronounced. And this year, it being exclusively a two-conference event, it's going to get talked about a lot more. And as the, you know, if we want to get really in the weeds here, as the House versus NCAA case, if that settlement goes through as we have, you know, become expected, like what the reports have said, the mid-major competition, like it's going to be a lot harder for them, for a team like Oral Roberts last year, for a team like Coastal Carolina in 2016. It was already really hard for those teams. It's about to get harder. And again, that forces even more into the top two conferences in the sport, which are the SEC and the ACC.
Right. The key thing with that is that it looks like 11.7 scholarships, which has been the number, and the number that coaches have railed against for decades now, but that probably is going away. And we are in college baseball is a sport where many of the schools, especially the mid-majors and other smaller schools, struggle to put up 11.7 scholarships. It's kind of hard to imagine they're going to go to 20 plus, which is something that I think we can safely say that SEC and probably a lot of ACC schools will do pretty much from day one. But Teddy, the other thing that kind of jumps out with that is speaking of the rich getting richer or the rich conferences getting richer, you broke the news yesterday that it was coming that Paul Maneri, LSU, Notre, you know, legendary coach who has a whole lot of success on his resume, is headed to South Carolina. Is that kind of another example of this? Like South Carolina, it is something where it feels like that we are kind of also on a coaching standpoint, it's kind of getting more and more concentrated in a couple of conferences where that are paying at a, just a different level than they are elsewhere in the country.
In some respects, yes. In other respects, no. So Paul Maneri has been out of the game for 3 years. So he's not coming from another conference. I think, you know, over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of coaches concentrate in the SEC. Jay Johnson coming from Arizona, Jim Schlossnagel coming from TCU to A&M, Chris Lemonis and Rob Vaughn leaving Big Ten jobs to go to the SEC. And it just seemed like a lot of coaches really were just trying to get into the SEC because they viewed that as the top of the sport and they wanted to test themselves against the best teams in the sport. And they wanted to be a part of that and, you know, get the resources and everything else that goes into it. So if South Carolina had gone out and hired, you know, Tom Walter from Wake Forest or Chris Pollard from Duke, I would have said like, this is just more of that. And even ACC coaches now feel the need to get into the SEC. That might've been something. This is a little bit different. I'm very curious to see what the offer sheet says for Paul. As we record this, They're about an hour away from meeting the Board of Trustees at South Carolina, which would finalize his contract. I don't know what his contract is going to say. What I do know is that right now, there are like 10 coaches in the SEC that make $1 million. South Carolina was not paying its head coach, Mark Kingston, $1 million. So maybe now South Carolina is going to join that club. There are not that many schools outside of the SEC that are in that price range. And that does make it hard for everyone else. Like, head coach compensation is a bad, probably not the best indicator of how committed you are as a program, but it is an easy one for me to look up, and it is a part of it, right? And so if you want to be at the top of the game, that's where the market is setting it right now. You have to be ready to pay for that. You have to be ready to pay for a bunch of other things too. So, you know, if you're not at that mark, it becomes a lot harder for you to compete in a number of levels. That's not to say it's impossible by any means, but you know, if you're trying to be at the top of the sport, there are certain thresholds that you have to meet. And right now, it almost feels like getting a head coaching compensation to $1 million is one of those things.
Thank you, everyone who's watching us live here on the Baseball America Hot Sheet Show. If you're listening to this later, hey, if you join us live 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays on YouTube, you can ask your questions. We have a question from Jay Bartis who asks, is Virginia a legit contender to win? And I'm going to go to you first, Jeff, because I know if Teddy, because Teddy has brought up Virginia in the past. But what do you think, Jeff? Do you think that in this rather stacked field, does Virginia have a shot or a little bit more of a dark horse?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, on the surface, you could potentially consider them a bit of a dark horse. But I think when you look at the lineup and just the nature of college baseball right now, that outside of, you know, a few games, it seems, over the last couple of weeks, you're seeing double-digit run totals produced in wins. And Virginia is an excellent lineup. I think there's maybe six or seven guys that have, you know, OPSs of 1,000 or more or something like that. From top to bottom, I think, you know, they had hits in the last game as well. It's just it's a lineup that puts a lot of pressure on opposing pitchers. And I think, you know, right now it seems even with the top teams, it's going to be, you know, all about the hitting, who can put the ball in play, score runs, drive in runs. So I think Virginia does have a legitimate shot. You know, I don't look at them and say, I think this team has no chance whatsoever. I think, you know, we're looking at top seeds here across the board. So everybody's kind of in play in this field, I feel.
Yeah, we are talking, Teddy, about we have seven number one seeds, seven national seeds here. The only, the dark horse, the underdog, is a team that I believe we had in our top five preseason, who by all accounts has some of the most talent in the nation, but Florida was a three seed. So, but Teddy, like, what do you think about Virginia? And then I'm kind of following up on that. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the regional started, but now, and you signposted North Carolina back then as a team to watch. But who do you think is kind of the favorite here now that we are with knowing what the field's going to Omaha?
So starting on Virginia, I am all the way in. All the way in on Virginia. Like, I'm not my national championship pick, but in terms of can they win it? Absolutely, 100% yes. I would say that almost any team in this field could win it. But I am so in on Virginia. They have allowed just 16 runs throughout the postseason. That's across five NCAA tournament games, just 16 runs allowed. And pitching was not, like, that was the problem with this club all season long. It is, for me, the best lineup in the country. I know some people, you know, just kind of auto assume that Tennessee has the best lineup in the country. I would argue that it's Virginia top to bottom. They are, I believe, third in the nation in scoring, and the two teams that are ahead of them are out of the tournament. It is an incredible offense. And it's an offense that I think plays in the ballpark in Omaha, because Charles Schwab Field is not a home run ballpark. You can score runs there. You can hit home runs there. We saw that last year, but it's not a short porch kind of ballpark. You have to be able to manufacture runs. You have to be able to drive the gaps. And that's what Virginia does best. So I think Virginia can win a number of games in this College World Series. Now, that being said, Tennessee has to be considered the favorite. Jeff said that before, and you know, they are the number one team in the country for a reason. They have not looked at their best, I would say, in the NCAA tournament. Maybe that was just a couple, you know, little wobbles against Evansville, getting through that super regional, losing a game to a number four regional seed in Evansville. But they have a very deep lineup. They have a great pitching staff. It's not as good as the 2022 team that was a number one overall seed that won the SEC, that very famously lost to Notre Dame in the Super Regional and didn't make it to this stage. It's not that team, but it is a very good Tennessee team, and it's arguably the most complete team in the country and in this field.
The thing that jumps out about that 22 team, I do think that that team would have gone down. If it had won it all, it would be listed as one of the greatest teams in college baseball history. And we already see that, you know, as far as pro prospects now, because we've already seen multiple guys from that team who are already in the big leagues. At this point, if you look at that draft and you say, okay, what players have made it out? It's like half of them pretty much who've made their MLB debut played for that Tennessee team in 22. But this 2024 Tennessee team could absolutely exceed what they did on the field. Be interesting to watch. Teddy, I know you're going to be there. We're looking forward to check it out at baseballamerica.com. All of Teddy's coverage as he gets ready to sit through some lightning delays, sit through a lot of heat, and enjoy a lot of baseball in Omaha over the next few weeks. Thank you for joining us, Teddy.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. What I love about Indeed is how much easier it has made the hiring process. Everything I need is all in one place. The ways to contact potential employees, job candidates, all in one place. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Just go to Indeed.com/baseballamerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
So, as Teddy heads off, we're also going to switch to the prospect side. And Angelo, you hit on it with the comment of Happy Drew Thorpe Day. It is Drew Thorpe Day. We have Drew Thorpe making his big league debut. Maybe not as what he envisioned when he was drafted, because he's making it with the White Sox because he was a key component in trades. But Jeff, what should we expect now that we see Drew Thorpe going to the big leagues?
Yeah, I think, you know, somebody who is a little bit unusual in terms of, you know, right-handed, you know, changeup guy who doesn't have sort of this, you know, drop off the table sort of changeup. It's very much like a softer fastball, and it has a little bit more arm side run than he has on the four seam fastball, which is his most used pitch and his, you know, predominant fastball. Decent velocity separation, but Thorpe is not really a hard thrower. Coming into this week was averaging 91 to 92 miles per hour, had touched, you know, 94 to 95 at peak. A lot of hop on the fastball, a little bit of cut, so it is pretty good shape. Not a huge bat misser, only like a 9% swinging strike rate on that pitch, but it sets up, it's in the zone quite a bit. It sets up that changeup. The changeup itself, 21% swing strike rate against it this year, 37.3% miss rate. It's a, you know, well above, you know, 65% strike rate on that pitch as well. He'll mix in a slider. He's got a cutter variation as well. It's a really interesting pitch mix. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily always a recipe for success, a right-handed changeup guy. But I do think, you know, if you look at the performance numbers over the last 2 years in the minor leagues, there's very few, if no one, that's outperformed just sort of on the baseball card surface level stats, like Drew Thorpe. And like I said, really interesting pitch shapes. He's got that interesting changeup that plays off of that hoppy four seamer, does have a couple of different breaking ball shapes. It's just a matter of him executing in the right spots. You know, certainly, you know, his home park isn't the most forgiving, but at the same time, this could be a guy and a rookie that gets some runway and gets some opportunity, because he's probably better than a lot of the options that the White Sox are going to be able to roll out there over the next couple of months. I'm excited to see what Thorpe looks like today. And I think White Sox fans should be excited about this, because it's kind of the first and a more exciting wave of potential prospects that are coming through this system. And with some trades potentially coming up over the next month or so, there could be some more prospects joining them as well.
There has to be something, because let's be honest, it's bleak right now. I mean, this is a team that not providing a whole lot of reasons to watch other than like highlights of, oh, they got into a scrap today. What did the announcers say? You know, things like that. But the thing I wanted to ask you, Jeff, that stands out to me about Drew Thorpe is it is easy for us to kind of underrate, you know, when a pitching prospect, a starting pitching prospect, is not particularly sexy. And I don't want to overdo this, because the starter traits are great. But at the same time, guys who a lot of times, if you say, oh, this guy could be a 4, he could be a 5, sometimes he could be a 6, he could be a 7, he could be a number 8 starter. But with a guy like Thorpe, I would kind of say there are starter traits here. And if he can be durable, I do feel like sometimes it's easy to kind of just kind of wipe away and say, oh, you know, let's say it's a 95 ERA plus, you know, kind of a league average a little bit, but, you know, below that FIP down the road. Oh, that's not, you know, nothing all that interesting. But you need guys like that. You know, you need guys who are going to give you those innings and give you that reliability, even if it's kind of not as in vogue as it was maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a big part of it, is he is a guy that's going to get to the show. And I feel like I've talked about this every time we really dig into the upside of a particular pitching prospect, especially somebody that performs and maybe outperforms what the underlying pitch metrics and movement numbers and StatCast stuff, whatever term you want to put on it, necessarily says. And to some degree, I think Thorpe falls into that bucket. I think the other thing about him that's unusual is he's not a hard thrower. And I think for this day and age, you know, somebody who throws 91 miles to 92 miles per hour as a right-hander just isn't something that we expect to have success at the major league level. That being said, you know, there are always certainly exceptions to the rule. There are guys that, you know, are in the major leagues that throw in the low 90s, that have good location, that know how to sequence, and you know, have a primary secondary like Thorpe has with that changeup. I think the biggest concern for me isn't necessarily even the velocity, but just more of having a true breaking ball that can generate consistent swing and miss. And I know that's been a question from a lot of scouts and evaluators when we've done some work on Thorpe over the last couple of years.
Okay, I'm going to dig in a little bit deeper to that. When you say like the concerns is he's a right-hander with a changeup as opposed to a lefty with a changeup, the key part of that is that the changeup is usually the best pitch you have against guys who that's that opposite side batter, right? So if you're a lefty with a changeup, that's going to be great against right-handed hitters. Whereas if you're a righty with a changeup, that's great against lefties. But now the question becomes, so what are you going to do to get right-handed hitters out? And that, I guess I'll kind of kick it back to you, what you were saying there. That's kind of the question. That's what I'm going to be watching the most tonight. Against big league hitters, does he have multiple ways or even a primary way to get either early count, you know, weak contact, or a strikeout pitch to get out right-handed hitters. Is that kind of what you're talking about as your biggest concern?
Yeah, I think so, because it's a very average performing slider when we look at sort of those numbers. Even in terms of the shape, it's sort of a gyro cutter. There's not a lot of, you know, vertical drop on it. It's located pretty well. So I think that because of the location, the swinging strike rates are about average. He's got a cutter variation, but I can also see how those two pitches can play off of each other. You can mix in that changeup because it's so good. He can throw it right on right and, you know, sort of give a different look to right-handed hitters, especially good right-handed hitters. So I think that's the biggest thing. Now, we've seen him do that in Double A. We've seen him do that in the minor leagues over the last couple of years. It's just a matter of seeing Thorpe do that against the best of the best major league hitters and, you know, all the stuff that comes with that, just in terms of guys that see pitches better, that guys that make contact more, guys that hit the ball a lot harder. Just across the board, everything obviously is a lot tougher. You're walking even sort of thinner tightrope.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We're going to be fascinated to watch how he does analysis down the road. But whenever top prospects get called up, check out the Baseball America YouTube channel, because there's a good chance that we're going to have it covered. So that's Drew Thorpe. Now we want to also get to a couple of these questions. Speaking of prospects, Mike Shear asks, any thoughts on CJ Cephas? And we both have thoughts. I know, because we've talked about CJ Cephas. And the thing that does stand out, tough profile. Let's just start with there. Tough profile because it's a bat first profile. First baseman who can play a little bit of left field, that's, you better hit. But the good thing, Jeff, for CJ Cephas and the good thing for the Guardians is he can hit.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest question with him is just the raw power. You know, in terms of what the top end EVs are, doesn't hit the ball very hard, especially for the profile. You know, 102.5 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity is pretty below average, especially for a college player who is a first baseman. That being said, excellent zone contact, excellent bat to ball skills. The approach has always been really, really good, dating back to his time at Miami. And he puts the ball in the air a lot. And in terms of his hard hit contact, though it may be less frequently than, you know, some other sort of first baseman power hitters, his best contact is consistently hit in the air. So he is somebody that sort of outperforms, I think, those power numbers from time to time. We see guys like this with a Thomas DeJaste or somebody like that. So it's not all that unusual. I think the biggest question is, being that profile, have it, you know, as a first baseman, you know, does he get to enough power? Even if it's 50 power, the hit tool and the peripheral skills in terms of plate skills might actually be good enough to sort of get him there and have him be a sort of fringe average regular, second division regular, if you want to use that term.
The other question I'd ask with that is he has been playing a little of the corner outfield spots as well. How vital is that when you talk about a guy with that profile? How vital is that to you? Again, we're getting early reports on it. Like, he's just kind of doing that. But sure, if he can do that, does that change as opposed to first base only, first base DH only?
I think it certainly ticks up the profile a little bit, because you're like, hey, if the bat is good enough, we can get this guy into the order and, you know, into the lineup a couple of different ways. I will say, having seen a lot of him with Kituit on the Cape a few years back, Cephas is a pretty good athlete for a first baseman. This isn't sort of your bigger bodied, sort of plodding, square bodied first baseman. You know, he looks like an outfielder, frankly, in terms of even the build. So if the arm is there, you know, if he's able to run even sort of fringe averages-ish routes at this point, I think he's probably viable as a left fielder. Or just a corner outfielder in general.
Nola Jeffro, I was going to let you know, since I'm on the show, I know you and I Twitter follow each other, so I'll get you an answer on the end of the first half. I don't have that in front of me right now. I've been very impressed so far with what, sure, I've seen from Christian Scott. What about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of had a feeling that it would transition like this. We saw how he was pitching out the gate. We saw what the numbers were on the back end, just in terms of the performance and how these pitches all sort of played against each other. I think he's a legitimate mid rotation piece in the next couple of years for the Mets. I think they're really building an interesting group there in the upper minors, and just in terms of just pitching development throughout their organization. And they had invested in that in the back end, so it's not a huge surprise. But yeah, I would imagine that, you know, they're just sort of trying to keep him fresh throughout the season. There's no reason to shut him down. I understand sort of skipping over starts here and there. We'd love to see him out there. I'm sure Mets fans, you know, with the way this season has gone, would love to see, you know, exciting players and prospects out there. But yeah, I would anticipate that Scott is going to be back very, very soon and has to be, you know, one of the most exciting pitching prospects that's come up over the early part of the season, non-Paul Skeens division. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I've continually been impressed just by, you know, what the Mets have done in terms of targeting some interesting college players. You know, Brandon Sproat, they went after him for whatever, two consecutive years now. You know, we're able to finally sign him in 2023. We've seen how he's performed. He's looked really good. And just even some of the other arms that they've collected that were maybe less high profile signings. Jonah Tong, who I know was on our show not too long ago. He's been really interesting. And there's guys like Dom Hamill even that I think could potentially be sort of like number six, number seven starters and, you know, could provide, you know, some sort of depth. Absolutely. I don't know if JJ is back now with us, but I don't know what your thoughts are on just Scott and sort of the direction of Mets pitching prospects.
Again, as we said last week when we had Jonah on, you know, it's really encouraging what we've seen so far from this Mets pitching development. That's a perfect segue. Speaking of farm systems that are very encouraging, it's time for the holiday adventure. He does have a baseball card that basically gives an homage to Billy Ripken. But it's also been, Jeff, it's been another encouraging week. It does seem like that Jackson Holliday is back to a little bit more of the Jackson Holliday we expect to see.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see some of those swing and miss numbers tick down. He's hitting the ball hard. It seems like, you know, the timing is there in terms of where the barrel is on a variety of different pitches. You know, you can even see just in terms of his lower half, something that I talked about, I believe, last week on the show, was just sort of that front foot drift. You're not seeing that drift as much. He's getting much more direct to the ball. I think that's something, as we said, it was a small tweak. It was something that they just had to work on. We kind of figured that Jackson Holliday would get onto the other side of this. Mateo's going to be coming back pretty soon. I would imagine Norby's going to be coming down as well. The question that I was sort of wondering, JJ, I don't know what your thoughts are on this or not, but I kind of wonder is Norby going to be the guy that gets the next opportunity? Is it going to be Holliday? I don't know. I think if Holliday keeps on mashing, maybe it's him.
There is no good answer to this because this is the Orioles way, which is they have three answers for every one question. And, you know, I don't know, hey, the Orioles could be a big team in the trade market. And the tough part with that, not that any team can't improve themselves, but this is an Orioles team right now that you don't look at it and say, oh, they have all these clear, glaring weaknesses that need to be solved. Anyone can use more starting pitching. Anyone can help the bullpen. They've got the best catcher, one of the best catchers in baseball. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, they have an ace because they acquired an ace in the offseason. There's just so much to speaking of, I'm getting ready to head up tomorrow. I'll be in Camden Yards tomorrow. Looking forward to, as I'm embarrassed to say, my first visit ever to Camden Yards. Thank you for joining us here on the BA Hot Show.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store.
Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.